Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. As we continue to think about God being Emmanuel, God with us as we journey through life, we come to one of the biggest questions we have to ask ourselves, and we have to ask it continually of ourselves. Am I going to trust God? This question is at the very heart of our faith. This question really calls us to challenge ourselves about our commitment to God. It's a question we have to ask every day. Will I trust him today, no matter what I face? And it's a question that has a number of layers. Am I going to trust God enough to follow him wherever he leads me? Am I going to trust God when things seem out of control? Am I going to trust God enough to let him work in and through me? So I'm going to read some selected verses from Matthew 10. And Jesus is just about to send out his 12 disciples to minister and proclaim the good news. And so this is what Jesus says to them. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter their home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not listen to you, welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and will have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Anyone who welcomes you, welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. So in Matthew 10, Jesus asked his disciples to go out and proclaim the good news of the gospel, to perform miraculous signs and wonders, to set people free, to give them healing and restoration. As he says to them, freely you have received, freely give. So far so good, right? They're going to tell others about Jesus and be given power to do amazing things. Sounds pretty exciting. But then Jesus carries on explaining what they will experience, and suddenly it doesn't sound quite so exciting anymore. Now they have to ask that question, am I going to trust God? Will I trust God to guide me? So to start with, Jesus states that he will send them out, but they're not allowed to take anything with them to help support themselves. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. In other words, Jesus basically tells them you've got to trust that God will provide what they need, and trust him to guide them in every aspect of the journey. He says they will not be able to support themselves because they are not taking anything with them. They are asked to depend on the kindness of strangers and trust in the mercy and love of God for everything, right down to what they will eat that day, to where they will lay their heads to sleep. I don't know what you are like when you're planning a trip. Maybe you're a free spirit who is happy to just see what happens and make it work as you go. But I have always needed to settle the details of a trip before I begin it. I like to know where I'm going to be and where I'm going to stay and what I'm going to be eating long in advance of the trip. So if I was one of those disciples, I would have become a nervous wreck if I was just told to go out and trust that someone would provide me somewhere to sleep and that I would get food from someone. That God would just provide what I needed. I always like having a backup plan, and so often this is what we do. We have backup plans and provisions so that we can support ourselves instead of relying on what God is telling us. If we take Jesus's instructions from a purely human point of view, it looks like the disciples are being set up to fail. Human wisdom says that we should plan and rely on our own resources as much as possible, that we make fail-safes and backups to protect ourselves as much as we can. Yet Jesus knew what he was asking of them. Ultimately, Jesus was asking the disciples to trust that God is in control, to trust that he would do what he said he would, to trust that God would equip them for the work he had sent them to do, to trust, ultimately, that God was always with them. So what is God asking of you? Where is God leading you and guiding you? How much are you willing to trust him to lead you well? And is there something that you are struggling to trust God with at the moment? How can you find encouragement to trust God's guidance? So we need to trust God to lead us, to guide us. We also need to trust God when things seem out of control. It's hard enough sometimes to trust God in the daily grind of life. But when things get hard, when life seems to get out of control, how do we learn to trust God? To recognise that he is still in control? It can be a real struggle to believe that God is in control, that God is good. Excuse me. That God is good when life feels like it's spinning in the wrong direction. I wonder if this is what the disciples were struggling with as they listened to Jesus carry on describing what they would experience. So after Jesus tells the disciples that they won't have the guarantee of homes, money, and many of the pleasures that they were used to, he then says something else that probably would have been pretty scary to hear. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves, therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Jesus tells them that they will be like sheep among wolves, and this is obviously not a safe position to be in. But yet Jesus tells them to go into these situations. He warns them that they'll be arrested and questioned because of him, and that everyone will hate them because of him. I must admit, if I was one of the 12 hearing this, I probably would be starting to have doubts. The things that Jesus had been warning them about seemed to suggest that things had gotten out of control. So I've always been a bit of a goody two-shoes. When I was at school, I don't think I ever even earned an individual detention rather than a class one. Therefore, the idea of getting into so much trouble that I'm arrested and put onto trial is, quite frankly, terrifying to me. And then there's that warning about families fighting each other and the world hating his disciples because of Jesus. All of that seems so much. I don't know what the disciples around Jesus would have felt about this, but I can't imagine it would have made them happy. I wonder how many of the disciples were starting to question if following Jesus was really worth all this. When we find ourselves in painful situations that seem out of control, it can be easy to wonder where God is in all of this, to wonder if it's worth following him. Perhaps we might find ourselves thinking, is God truly all-powerful, or is this beyond God's ability to control? Or maybe we might even think that if God is still in control, and yet still allows these things to happen, maybe he isn't all good and all loving. This problem of pain and suffering has challenged philosophers and theologians throughout history, and there are many potential answers or solutions to it. But when we're in the midst of our pain, these logical answers don't really help very much. In the chaos, in the confusion and the pain of difficult situations, we need to hold on to something else. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Problem of Pain, in which he tried to record his own answers to that philosophical problem that has challenged so many scholars. However, it was when his wife died that C.S. Lewis wrote a new book that addressed the problem of pain in a much more intimate and deeply honest way. Now he was having to personally grapple with what happens when the world feels out of control, and yet you still trust in God. As part of his writing on the subject, he wrote a painfully honest statement of how he was feeling at the time, and he said this: "Not that I am, I think, in much danger of ceasing to believe in God. The real danger is of coming to believe such dreadful things about him. The conclusion I dread is not, so there's no God after all, but so this is what God's really like. Deceive yourself no longer." When the world feels out of control, we need to decide whether we will continue to trust in God, in his promises, in his character, his grace, mercy, and love. We have to choose if we will trust in his power, ability, and knowledge to control and direct things for the best. Again, C.S. Lewis wrote, "We were promised sufferings. They were part of the program. We were even told, 'Blessed are those that mourn.' And I accept it. I've got nothing that I haven't bargained for. Of course, it is different when the thing happens to oneself, not to others, and in reality, not imagination. When things are going well, it can be easy to hear Jesus' warnings that we will suffer and we will struggle, and we'll be like, 'Yeah, okay, of course, that's fine.' But when we actually experience in reality, when we have to live through the horrors of it, then we are truly tested. It is during these moments that it is truly difficult to say, 'Yes, I will continue to trust God.'" The disciples had to choose to say, "I will continue to trust in God, even when they are hated by the world and they are arrested. What difficulties are you going through? How are you holding on to God? How are you encouraging yourselves to keep trusting in God? The question, am I going to trust God, has a third layer that says, am I going to trust God enough to let him use me and work through me? Will I let him take control and impact those around me no matter what the situation? Jesus tells his disciples, but when they arrest you, do not worry about what you will say or how to say it. At the time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. In that moment of chaos, where his disciples are arrested, Jesus tells them to trust God enough to let him speak. When we are in moments of difficulty, our first instinct is to do everything in our own power and our own strength to get out of the situation or to somehow resolve it positively. And if our own resources and abilities aren't enough, we will often turn to other people and to their advice and their resources. Often it is only after we've run out of all other options that we turn to God and ask him for help. Jesus tells us not to turn to God as a last-ditch attempt to escape our problems. Instead, he says, let God take control of the situation and the way you react to it. Let him use you to bring about his plans. Trust him enough to give up control. This can feel impossible at times, but God is in control, and so we need to learn to trust him enough to give him space to work in and through our lives. And not only are we to let God take over in times of difficulties, we are to keep God in control and at the forefront of all we do and say every day. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of the one who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly, I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. These verses make it clear that whatever we do, we are to do it in service to God and trust in him to work in and through us. So when he tells us things that we are to say, we must be willing to trust him and proclaim it from the roofs. Our trust in God must be such that we are willing to acknowledge him before everyone we meet. Our trust should be greater than our desire to please others, and our actions should be motivated by our love and trust in God, so that we are willing to be God's hands and feet on the earth. Trust is difficult. Trusting in God is the most wonderful thing we can do, but it's not easy. Sometimes we will have to struggle to hold on to that trust when the world seems like it's out of control, when we are led into a direction that we don't really want to go, and when we are asking God, help us to let you use us and to trust you that you will do what is right. So as you think about this coming week, ask yourselves, will I trust God? Am I going to trust God every day of my life? Let's pray. Almighty God, you know how hard we sometimes find it to trust you. You have given us so many reasons to know that you are trustworthy and true, to know that you are worthy of us putting all our faith in you. And yet, when those times get hard, when the world feels like it's going out of control, when we struggle to let you work in us, then we find it hard. So Lord, help us once again to trust in you. Help enhance our faith in you, Lord. Today, at this very moment, give us strength to follow you wherever you lead us. And Lord, when the hard times come, when the chaos and the confusion arrive, help us to hold on to you more tightly, more firmly than we ever have, and to trust you will guide us through. In your name we pray. Amen.